And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Yep, that's right. I'm back behind the mic again for this volume of secrets. He enjoyed listening to me do the last one so much, he asked me, would I mind doing it again? And of course not. I'd love to. So here I am. I appreciate all the kind words that many of you emailed and called and in your letters that you wrote. I appreciate you listening to me, and glad I didn't bore you to tears like I was afraid of. So we'll give it a shot again this month. Got a number of things here to cover this week. PayPal has been busy banning sites from accepting payments. They've turned people off. Power of Prophecy is one of them. But why? We'll talk about that. Got one here. Who is the most dangerous hate group in America? Some of you may be surprised, but some of you will definitely not be. We've got a Christian group suing someone over being labeled a hate group. Google. I heard somebody say last week that Google has become the internet. Well, it seems like Google is becoming the internet police, and they're trying to snuff out conservative websites. We'll talk about that. Oh, Nancy Pelosi. Here's an interesting tidbit. Her dad helped dedicate a statue to Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Yep, Nancy Pelosi's dad. Here's one. Charles Barkley, the former NBA player, guy that does analyzing the games on TV now for NBA and college basketball. Yeah, Charles Barkley's been labeled a white supremacist. In the land of absurd, ESPN, the four-letter network, is back in the news again. You know, it seems that their left-leaning agenda has led people to cancel their subscriptions. Well, they pulled the broadcaster for an upcoming University of Virginia football game. Wonder why they did that. Jonathan Gruber, he's in the news. Yeah, he was the architect behind Barack Obama's Obamacare. Wonder why he's in the news. And we've got the military cracking down on the hooligans. Antifa is done. Google, another one on Google, how they're recording your private conversations. Got news from Dallas. Well, we got quite a bit here. First of all, I want to thank you for your prayers and support. We recently got through with the hurricane that Harvey came in through the Gulf of Mexico and hit the Texas coastline, did untold amounts of damage. Port Aransas, Rockport, Corpus Christi, not so much. Houston has been devastated with flooding. So we ask that you keep them in our prayers. Here in Austin, we were very fortunate. We didn't have a lot of rain. We had some. We had one wind gust that hit the airport was 52 miles an hour. But for the most part, Austin was spared. We were on the they call it the junk side or the trash side. We were on the western side of the hurricane, so we didn't feel the effects that everybody down on the coast and in East Texas felt as that hurricane came whipping through. But we were spared, and we thank you for your prayers for the ministry and the staff here at the ministry. Thank you for thinking about us. All right, well, let's get to it. PayPal is banning websites from accepting payments. I received an email not long ago from PayPal saying that they were suspending our account permanently. And I was wondering why. Then wasn't much longer, and looking at the web, I saw that there was a report out by the SPLC, and it listed all these hate groups. And one of the news stations here locally ran a report, and it mentioned us because Power of Prophecy is labeled a general hate group by the SPLC. Well, so I did some digging online, wanted to find out what was going on. And it seems that the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, and the ADL sent out a blast labeling all these different entities as hate mongers. And ProPublica, which is a George Soros-funded left-leaning organization, they claim they're news, but it's fake news. One of their reporters, I guess you would call her, named Lauren Kirchner, wrote an article criticizing tech companies such as PayPal that allow everybody to utilize their online services. One such organization is called Jihad Watch, and it's considered a hate group because of its extreme hostility towards Muslims. And the SPLC and the ADL designated as a hate site, but Kirsten wrote that it didn't stop tech companies from Amazon, Newsmax, PayPal from maintaining partnerships with Jihad Watch, and they helped sustain Jihad Watch financially. So Breitbart reached out to Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch, and he gave the following comment on his sudden suspension. Spencer said, quote, "People have complained for years about the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group listing, lumping legitimate groups in with the KKK, neo-Nazis, etc. Now this has teeth as PayPal's and others are closing their platforms to those who dissent from the establishment leftist line based on the SPLC's hit list. The left sees blood in the water after Charlottesville and is moving in for the kill. They're attempting to delegitimize, silence, and destroy all dissenting voices. The freedom of speech, the foundation of a free society, is being eroded away under our very noses. The recent meeting of the vice president of Facebook with the Pakistani government and his assurances that Facebook would remove all criticism of Islam reveal what's really going on here. It's not an attempt to shut down an actual hate speech, which would result in the closing of many mosques, but an attempt to shut down all criticism of Islam in according with Sharia blasphemy laws, with the goal of allowing the jihad to advance unopposed and unimpeded." Breitbart further reported, "The SPLC has previously been accused of using its list of hate figures as a political tool to silence conservatives. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch alleges that the group is doing exactly that by listing his organization as a hate site. This all came about in the wake of violent protest by alt-right groups in Charlottesville, and more tech companies have disavowed relationships with extremist groups. Oren Siegel, of the director of the ADL Center on Extremism, said, I can't recall a time where the tech industry was so in step in their response to hate on their platforms. Stopping financial support to hate sites seems like a win-win for everyone." It seems ProPublica's findings indicate that some tech companies with anti-hate policies may have failed to establish monitoring processes needed to weed out hate sites. PayPal is a payment processor, and it has a policy against working with sites that use its services for, quote, the promotion of hate, violence, or racial intolerance, close quote. Amazon spokeswoman Angie Newman said, "Where to set the boundaries between hate speech and legitimate advocacy for perspectives on the edge of the political spectrum and who should set them are complex and difficult questions. Like other media outlets, we relied in part on the Southern Poverty Law Center's public list of active hate groups. This list is controversial in some circles, with critics questioning whether the SPLC is too quick to brand organizations on the right as hate groups. It is not hateful, racist, or extremist to oppose jihad terror," said Spencer, the director of Jihad Watch. He added that the true extremism was displayed by groups that seek to censor the internet, and that by asking questions about the tech platforms on his site, we were aiding and abetting a quintessentially fascist enterprise. PayPal's been working to shut down donations to extremist sites in recent weeks. This week, it pulled the plug on VDare.com, an anti-immigration website designated as white nationalist by the SPLC and as a hate site by the ADL. VDare editor Peter Brimlow declared on his site that the PayPal shutdown was likely part of a purge by the authoritarian communist left to punish anyone who disagrees with their anti-American violence against patriotic people. Well, that leads us to the next item. Who is the most dangerous hate group in America? Michael Brown wrote on WorldNet Daily an interesting article. He asked, which is more insidious, the enemy you recognize or the enemy that appears to be your friend? Which is more dangerous, a ragtag bunch of poorly funded white supremacists or a well-organized, massively funded civil rights organization that demonizes Christian conservatives? And which lie is more likely to spread, one that is false from beginning to end, or one that mixes falsehood with truth? Michael Brown continues, based on the obvious answers to these questions, it is the Southern Poverty Law Center that is most insidious and dangerous, and it is the lies of the SPLC that are more likely to spread. The SPLC even has blood on its hands and by its own definition should be listed as a hate group. To give you an idea how dangerous the SPLC is, consider this recent headline from the San Diego Union-Tribune. 8 hate groups are in San Diego's backyard. Really? How's that make you feel if you live nearby? And what protective action should you take? Who are these groups? Some are black supremacist groups. One denies the Holocaust. One supports Islamic terrorism and wants to establish Sharia law. And 2 are conservative Christian organizations. Brown continues, this is the insidiousness of the SPLC, which exposes genuine hate groups alongside fine Christian organizations whose great sin, according to the SPLC, is being anti-LGBT. If you're anti-LGBT, if you believe that it's best for kids to have a mom and dad, or that marriage should be limited to the union of one man and one woman, or that homosexual practice is sinful, or that gays can change, or that Bruce Jenner is not a woman, or that a 15-year-old boy should not be able to play on a girl's sports team and share their locker rooms and showers. I guess that makes you anti-LGBT. And if you're anti-LGBT, according to the SPLC, you are a hater. And if your organization or ministry is known for such views, you belong on their hate list, side by side with the KKK, neo-Nazis, black supremacists, and Islamic radicals. Good night, nurse. Using the same logic, should the SPLC one day publish a list of hate books? If it did, the Bible would be on their list. A few years back, the SPLC added a new name to their list of haters. Dr. Ben Carson. That's right. Presidential candidate and now cabinet member Ben Carson was on SPLC's extremist list. Brown continues, thankfully, the FBI, among other law enforcement agencies, no longer relies on the SPLC's data. But for years, they were a major source of information for our government, reminding us once more of just how dangerous this group is. Brown continues, and thanks in part to CNN republishing the SPLC national hate map in the aftermath of Charlottesville, the organization is receiving a fresh wave of financial support, including a $1 million donation from George Clooney, and with consistency, millions of dollars from J.P. Morgan and their ilk. If you think the SPLC is hurting financially, its 2016 annual report shows net assets of almost $34 million and an endowment fund of just under $320 million. Good night, nurse. Some of the Christian organizations the SPLC is attacking: the Alliance Defending Freedom, the American College of Pediatricians, the American Family Association, Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. They also listed, on Tuesday of this week, D. James Kennedy Ministries filed a lawsuit against the SPLC, the charity navigation organization GuideStar, and Amazon for defamation, religious discrimination, and trafficking in falsehood. D. James Kennedy Ministries was listed as a hate group, while GuideStar also categorized it in those terms, and Amazon kept the ministry off its charity donation program, Amazon Smile. Dr. Frank Wright, president and CEO of DJKM, said in a statement Tuesday, "We embark today on a journey to right a terrible wrong. Those who knowingly label Christian ministries as hate groups solely for subscribing to the historic Christian faith are either woefully uninformed or willfully deceitful. In the case of the SPLC, our lawsuit alleges the latter." DJKM was labeled an anti-LGBT hate group for its opposition to same-sex marriage and transgenderism. These false and illegal characterizations have a chilling effect on the free exercise of religion and on religious free speech for all people of faith, Wright declared. He continues, "After having given the SPLC an opportunity to retract, we have undertaken this legal action seeking a trial by jury of our peers to preserve our own rights under the law and to defend the religious free speech rights of all Americans." The lawsuit charges that the SPLC acted knowingly, intentionally, and with actual malice in publishing the hate map that included the ministry and in publishing the SPLC transmissions to GuideStar that included the ministry. SPLC's conduct in making these publications was beyond the reckless disregard for the truth standard required by Alabama law for punitive damages. The SPLC, the most dangerous hate group out there. Now we go from the SPLC to Google. Google. Like I stated earlier, people have claimed that Google is the entire internet now. I remember when Lycos and Yahoo were the search engines of choice. Along came Google, and their searches seemed to produce better results, and next thing you know, it became part of our normal lexicon. Well, if you just Google it, who'd have thought of that years ago? Well, the question is Google working with liberal groups to snuff out conservative websites? This is from PJ Media, written by Paula Boyard. Seems Google has partnered with liberal groups like ProPublica, BuzzFeed News, and the Southern Poverty Law Center to make information about hate events easily accessible to journalists. And now there are troubling signs this tool could be used to ferret out writers and websites that run afoul of the progressive orthodoxy. Simon Rogers, data editor of Google News Lab, wrote, "Now with ProPublica, we are launching a new machine learning tool to help journalists covering hate news leverage this data in their reporting. The Documenting Hate News Index, built by Google News Lab, data visualization studio Pitch Interactive, and ProPublica, takes a raw feed of Google News articles from the past 6 months and uses the Google Cloud Natural Language API to create a visual tool to help reporters find news happening across the country. It's a constantly updating snapshot of data from this year, one which is valuable as a starting point to reporting on this area of news." The Documenting Hate Project launched in response to the lack of national data on hate crimes. While the FBI is required by law to collect data about hate crimes, the data is incomplete because local jurisdictions aren't required to report incidents up to the federal government. All of which underlines the value of the Documenting Hate Project. On the surface, this looks rather innocuous, but a quick glance at the list of partners for this project should raise some red flags. These partners are the ProPublica-led coalition, and it includes Google News Lab, Univision News, The New York Times, WNYC, BuzzFeed News, First Draft, Medan, New America Media, The Root, Latino USA, The Advocate, 100 Days in Appalachia. This coalition is also working with civil rights groups such as the Southern Poverty Law Center and such schools as the University of Miami School of Communication. Now, ProPublica poses as a middle-of-the-road nonprofit journalistic operation, but in reality, it's funded by a stable of uber-liberal donors, including George Soros' Open Society Foundation and Herb and Marion Sandler, billionaire former mortgage bankers whose Golden West Financial Corporation allegedly targeted subprime borrowers with a pick-a-pay mortgage that led to toxic assets that were blamed for the collapse of Wachovia. The Southern Poverty Law Center, of course, is infamous for targeting legitimate conservative groups, branding them as hate groups because they refuse to walk in lockstep with the progressive agenda. Good night, nurse. Are you aware that Google's monopolistic search engine controls 87% of page views and will use its machine learning tool set to assist liberal groups in doubling down on purging conservative speech they consider hate? Isn't that special? The Google ProPublica coalition partners are all center, left bias, or left bias. Although the coalition states they will work on civil rights issues with the highly respected University of Miami School of Communication, they also will rely on input from George Soros' Open Society Foundation. Recently on Fox News, Tucker Carlson explains why Google is a threat. Listen to this.
Now, why does any of this matter? Well, it matters because Google is the most powerful company in the history of the world. It's the portal through which the bulk of our information flows. That means that if Google isn't on the level, neither is our understanding of the world. To an unprecedented extent, Google controls reality. Now, Google's already shown a disturbing willingness to distort reality for ideological ends. Until they were sued for it in 2008, Google refused to allow anti-abortion advertisements on its platforms, even though they freely allowed pro-abortion ones. On the flip side, Google often blacklists certain sites from hosting ads, which denies them revenue. Recently, Google-owned YouTube has introduced procedures to cut off revenue to, quote, offensive content. What's offensive? Who decides? Well, it's an opaque process controlled by employees of the company, and the last 2 weeks have shown us conclusively what those employees are like. No surprise, then, that the offensive label is routinely being applied to right-of-center content creators they don't like. Google has also appointed itself the online sheriff of fake news, changing its search algorithms so that what it calls misleading or offensive news doesn't even show up in searches. You will never know it existed. It's now obvious Google cannot be trusted to do any of this. Why should a company that shuts down free speech for political reasons have the power to dictate what the world knows and thinks? Well, of course, it shouldn't have that power. Google's longtime motto was don't be evil. Today it uses do the right thing. We should have seen this coming. Those are supervillain slogans if there was ever such a thing.
Conservative sites have complained for years that Facebook and Twitter trending news curators were biased against their publications. After former trending news editors told Gizmodo in October, just weeks before the presidential election, that 90 of the Facebook news curation staff are liberal, we routinely suppressed conservative news, CEO Mark Zuckerberg was forced to fire the entire group and use an app to gather news. It seems Google's reputation for being relatively impartial has changed after the January 17 swearing-in of Donald Trump as our 45th president. Quartz reported less than a month later, Google and its Alphabet sister company Jigsaw would start using a set of machine learning to police the Internet against hate speech. Conservatives should be concerned that Google's use of tools to selectively shame hate speech sound a lot like the counter-propaganda tools described in the U.S. Army PSYOP field manual to exploit the psychological soft spots created by an individual's needs, goals, fears, and worries. Google, yep, they've grown very powerful. All right, let's get to Nancy Pelosi. In Red Alert Politics, Ron Meyer said, "The truth is, the Democrats have a pretty poor history on civil rights, including Nancy Pelosi's own father, who was mayor of Baltimore, and was one of the people who dedicated statues to Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, and in his speech said that they defended sacred institutions." What are those sacred institutions? One of them is slavery. Meyer says, "I've been asked to share the details of Minority Leader Pelosi's father and his involvement with these Confederate statues." Pelosi's father, Baltimore Mayor Thomas D'Alessandro Jr., spoke as the mayor at the dedication of a monument to Confederate generals Robert E. Lee and Thomas Stonewall Jackson in 1948. At the dedication, he said, "Today, with our nation beset by subversive groups and propaganda which seeks to destroy our national unity, we can look for inspiration to the lives of Lee and Jackson to remind us to be resolute and determined in preserving our sacred institutions." According to the Baltimore Sun, the Lee Jackson statue was erected in 1948 after a $100,000 donation from Baltimorean J. Henry Ferguson. Ferguson's father was a friend of Confederate President Jefferson Davis. Many believe that the statues erected during this time were to push back on the growing civil rights movement. Pelosi has called for the removal of all Confederate-linked statues in the Capitol building, but has yet to denounce her father's support for Lee and Jackson, nor has she condemned the racist roots of the Democratic Party. She also did not remove the statues when she was Speaker of the House. Little nugget that I didn't know until today. Dixie. The song Dixie was written by a Yankee, and it was played often because President Abraham Lincoln loved the song. It wasn't written by a Southerner. It was written by a Yankee. All right. Charles Barkley is a white supremacist? Seems so, since he told black people to stop killing each other. Seems Barkley has urged African Americans to concentrate on being successful, not getting angry over statues. The Root, one of those left-leaning websites I talked about earlier that's partnering with ProPublica and Google to parse the media. The website The Root says Charles Barkley is a white supremacist because he says black people should stop getting angry over old statues and instead concentrate on not killing each other and on getting an education. Barkley's thought crime was to encourage black people to concentrate less on getting angry. Charles Barkley said, quote, "I think if you ask most black people to be honest, they ain't thought a day in their life about those stupid statues. What we as a black people need to do, we need to worry about getting our education. We need to stop killing each other. We need to try to find a way to have a more economic opportunity and things like that." Well, this triggered Michael Harriet, a writer for The Root. He says, "Why won't Charles Barkley shut the blank up?" And he filed his story under the category Stupid Negroes. Harriet said, "Is there anyone who thinks that Barkley's statements about race reveal anything other than his repeated willingness to throw black people under the bus for our stupid unwillingness to assimilate into whiteness? He is a true believer in the infallibility and superiority of whiteness because Charles Barkley is a white supremacist." Given that this is how the left reacts to a successful black person telling other black people to escape from the ghetto of grievance culture and permanent victimhood, is it any wonder that the black community continues to be stuck in a cycle of dependence and self-pity? Well, that'll take care of the first half. I'm Jerry Barrett sitting in for Tex Mars this week, and be right back with you. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We'll be back in a minute. Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's a book we offer here at the ministry, and it probably led to us being labeled a hate group because we published it. When the protocols were first discovered, Freemasons and Zionist Jews everywhere screamed and complained that these 24 protocols are a hoax, a forgery, even a blood taint against the Jews. But then came the brutal and barbaric communist Bolshevik revolution in Russia and its captive republics, led by covert Masonic Jews Lenin, Trotsky, Kaganovich, and others. The cruel and sinister crimes of the crypto-Jew revolutionaries seem to have jumped off the pages of the protocol. The Red Terror, with its torturous massacres of innocent people, its monstrous gulag concentration camps, and the setting up of a Jewish dictatorship also followed the agenda of the protocols, as did the persecution everywhere of Christians and churches. The entire world witnessed horrors that were a direct result of the heinous prescriptions laid out in the protocols. Well, they're using them today. Protocol 3, the symbolic snake and its significance, the instability of the constitutional scales, terror in the palaces, power and ambition, abuse of power, economic slavery, people's rights, hunger and rights of capital, the mob and the coronation of the sovereign land of all the world. That's Protocol 3. Sounds like Antifa, doesn't it? Protocol 5, creation of an intensified centralization of government, methods of seizing power by masonry, the state of predestination of the Jews. Protocol 5, these things are playing out every day, people. Henry Ford wrote about this in his Dearborn Independent. And poor Henry was forced to distance himself from that newspaper because the Jew bankers that were helping fund his assembly line threatened to shut him down, and Henry couldn't do that to his employees. Protocol number 6, monopolies. Upon them depend the fortunes of the goyim, taking of the land out of the hands of the aristocracy, rise of wages and increase of price in the articles of primary necessity. Recently, a number of places went to a $15 an hour minimum wage. People couldn't live on the $7 an hour minimum wage that they were at the time being paid. So let's raise it up to $15 an hour. People that claim these things must not study economics. So McDonald's has a staff of 8. And they're paying them all $7 an hour. They're all getting between 32 and 40 hours of work. Burgers are affordable, somewhat. Well, then they go up to $15 an hour minimum wage. What do? The price of the burger goes up. They cut half the workforce. And people can't afford to eat at McDonald's anymore. So the company goes out of business. Now, I'm not saying McDonald's is going to go out of business, but that's basic economics. If you can't afford to go eat there, how's it going to stay in business? Protocol number 7 ferments discords and hostility all over the world. Secrecy means success in the political. Well, that sounds like what Soros is doing right now. Soros is the Hungarian Jew that's funding all of the protesters. He's paying them $25 an hour to go protest. Protocol number 8, ambiguous employment of juridical rights. Well, that's the courts making the law instead of being the other way around. Protocol number 10, universal suffrage, self-importance, institutions and their functions, constitution, a school of party discords, era of republic, presidents, the puppets of masonry. There you go. Protocol number 10. There's 24 protocols in this book. There's a foreword by Tex Mars. It has the articles that were written in Henry Ford's Dearborn Independent. Tremendous read. And if you don't have it, I highly recommend you get a copy of this book today. is 320 pages. It's only $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling, total of $25. Ask for the protocols. We'll know exactly what you mean when you say, I want a copy of the protocols. I urge you to get a copy of this and read it. It's vitally important that you understand where America is heading, the subversives that are attacking Donald Trump, the Constitution, and the American way. It's all laid out right here in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. To get your copy, you can send a check, money order, or cash of $25. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, that's P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, that's www.powerofprophecy.com, or textmars.com. And make sure you spell it right. It's TEXEMARRS.com. Either one will get you there. You'll see a advertisement for the protocols on the front page. You can click on that, add it to your shopping cart. You can browse our catalog. We've got all of our items in the shopping cart there for you to peruse with a description of everything. Or you can phone us. Toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. Ask for the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. $25. You need to be armed with this knowledge. And now let's return to our regular program. We're covering secrets today. Secrets. It's my favorite program of the month. I laughed and told Tex when I was running the soundboard one day. I said, you know, this is the fastest hour in radio. It's hard to believe that he sits here with just a pile of papers and just gets after it. And it still amazes me how he's able to put all this together. I'm sitting at his desk right now, and he's got papers everywhere. He's got books everywhere, and if you ask him about something, he'll say, yo, it's on the left side of my desk. It's about a third of the way down in that stack right there. It's amazing, and Tex does a wonderful job. And we're getting closer to finalizing everything on his new book, Hell's Mirror. It should be out soon. Keep an eye out for that. We're not taking orders yet. Calm down. But Hell's Mirror will be the next book by Tex Mars that we offer. Tremendous book. You're going to love it. All right, here we go. ESPN pulls Asian anchor from the University of Virginia game. Why? Because his name is Robert Lee. Good night, nurse. They pulled him from announcing the University of Virginia football game because his name is Robert Lee, because it sounds too much like Robert E. Lee. Oh, good night, nurse. ESPN issued an official statement on moving Robert Lee from the Virginia game. We collectively made the decision with Robert to switch games as the tragic events in Charlottesville were unfolding, simply because of the coincidence of his name. In that moment, it felt right to all parties. It's a shame that this is even a topic of conversation, and we regret that who calls play-by-play for a football game has become an issue. ESPN, get a grip. You want to know the truth? It's only an issue because you libtards make it an issue. The gentleman is of Asian descent. Who cares? Is he an American? Is he a good announcer? Let him call the game. Quit making political statements, ESPN. It's costing you millions. You need to wake up and smell the coffee. Good night, nurse. Here we go. Jonathan Gruber in the news. You remember he was a chief architect for Obamacare. Well, it seems he's been fired after fraudulent billing investigation reveals his true colors. The Attorney General for Vermont settled the claim of fraud against Jonathan Gruber, who was a technical consultant for President Barack Obama. Under the terms of the settlement, Gruber will no longer work as a taxpayer-funded economic consultant for the state's health care system, and he won't seek to be paid any money he might be owed. The state of Vermont was paying this guy? Good night, nurse. Huh. Officials in Vermont had hired Gruber as an economic consultant to assess, examine, and provide economic models for the now-abandoned plan to roll out a single-payer healthcare system across that tiny state. This single-payer healthcare scheme called Green Mountain Care was the brainchild of former Governor Pete Shumlin. Eventually, Shumlin, a Democrat, of course, decided against government-funded health care because it would be too costly for Vermont's 625,000 citizens. Specifically, investigators concluded that Gruber sent two invoices, and possibly more, falsely charging the state and its taxpayers for work which was never actually completed by Gruber or any of his underlings. The dollar amounts sought by Gruber in the two invoices are not clear. Under the terms of Gruber's consulting contract, he was supposed to receive up to $400,000 for his policy advice concerning single-payer health care. Gruber denies committing any fraud. Of course he does. Gruber said during one health care conference, "Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage, and basically, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever, but basically, that was really, really critical for the thing to pass." At another event, Gruber admitted that the Obama administration pushed through the so-called Cadillac tax, a tax on certain premium healthcare plans, by mislabeling it, calling it a tax on insurance plans rather than a tax on people, when we know it's a tax on people who hold these insurance plans. Oh, Chuck Schumer here. Senator Chuck Schumer inadvertently reveals Democrats' number one worry. From the World Net Daily. In a head-spinningly illogical non sequitur, top U.S. Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer has managed to reveal what his party is most worried about. That would be the Presidential Advisory Commission on Voter Integrity, which President Trump established by executive order in May. Schumer insisted Thursday that Trump dismantled his commission dedicated to investigating voter fraud. What reason did he cite? Well, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and Charlottesville. Schumer wrote, "After Charlottesville, it's time to end the assault on voting rights." Under the guise of voter fraud, which experts agree is practically non-existent, I don't know which experts he's talking to, conservative forces in the administration, cheered on by white supremacy-stoking publications like Breitbart News, are reviving the old playbook of disenfranchising minority voters. Continuing in his effort to connect a bipartisan probe of voter fraud found with Nazis, Schumer wrote, "If the president truly wants to show that he rejects the discrimination agenda of the white supremacist movement, he will rescind the executive order that created this commission. And if the president does not act, the Congress should prohibit its operation through one of the must-pass legislative vehicles in September." Schumer's allegations that the Voter Integrity Commission, which to date is convened for just one meeting, is somehow tied in with white supremacist movement, is just the latest manifestation of the Democratic Party's extreme discomfort with any official investigation into voter fraud in America. Early on, Trump was ridiculed by Democrats after he suggested that Hillary Clinton's 2.9 million people advantage in the nationwide popular vote might have evaporated had illegal alien votes not been counted. In California alone, with the nation's largest illegal alien population, Clinton had 4.3 million more votes than Trump. But a recent study concluded that as many as 5.7 million non-citizens may have voted in the 2008 election won by Barack Obama, giving credence to Trump's claim that illegal votes cost him the nationwide popular vote last November. Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe, in a series of undercover videos, reveals one Democrat operative, Scott Foval, who had worked for People for the American Way, a George Soros-funded group. Of course George is behind this. And recently with Americans United for Change, stating, you know what? We've been bussing people in to deal with you blank blank for 50 years and we're not going to stop now. Foval also said he and his fellow operatives are starting anarchy by creating conflict engagement in the lines at Trump rallies. Yep, Soros behind another one. You know, when you go to cash a check, you have to show your ID. Why not show your ID when you vote? If you're a non-citizen, you shouldn't be voting. A very clear indication of how degenerate the U.S. political world has become was seen in the events that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia earlier this month. A White Dragon Society member was there to witness what really happened, as opposed to what the corporate propaganda media lied about. Now, the corporate media reported a racist, hate-mongering white supremacist crashed a van into peaceful left-wing protesters, killed an innocent young woman, and injured many others. This was followed by a well-oiled corporate media campaign to force U.S. President Donald Trump to denounce the KKK, white supremacists, and hate mongers, who they claim staged violent demonstrations in Charlottesville. However, the White Dragon Society source who was there witnessed a very different story. The right-wing groups applied for and received a permit to demonstrate against a planned removal of a statue of Confederate Civil War General Robert E. Lee. Once the demonstrators arrived, they were herded by police towards a gauntlet of left-wing protesters who pelted them with used tampons, used condoms, flamethrowers, feces, and acid, among other things. One of the right-wing speakers was permanently blinded by acid thrown on him, something the corporate media failed to mention. After these attacks, an emergency was declared, and the right-wingers peacefully departed from Charlottesville. This left the afternoon open to events staged by professional agent provocateurs, including the crashing of a van into protesters. Most of the protesters were professionals, many working under the communist Antifa banner, being paid $25 an hour to participate in these events. The witness also noted that the Black Lives Matter protesters in Charlottesville were all white and that the local African Americans were shouting insults at them. In any case, a crackdown has started with the arrest of 27 paid extremists in Boston, preventing a similar incident from being concocted there, the sources say. Got an article here. It says, Antifa done after their dark secret comes out in a training manual a rioter accidentally dropped. Thanks to a random discovery made on a college campus after an Antifa terrorist accidentally dropped their training manual, patriots across America now have access to their top secret tactics, and these communists are frantic to keep this info from spreading any further. This is an article written by Prissy Holly. Seems George Soros and Barack Obama are the ones behind the violent uprising we're now seeing popping up around the country. Antifa is Soros's and Obama's pet project, as the pair has been behind the scenes, secretly funding this violent anti-American, anti-free speech radical group. Their startling plan to destroy America at all costs. Antifa has borrowed many of Saul Alinsky's tactics for their training manual. Demonizing the white race is paramount, but white males are their most fervently hated group of people in America. And in the article, she included pictures of the pamphlet. Introduction. If you're reading this, it's because someone close to our movement trusted you with it. Please do not distribute to anyone who may attempt to harm or denigrate what we are doing. This is an anti-fascist or Antifa manual. This manual outlines where we've been, where we're at, and where we're headed within the next 100 years. The first subject covered is white privilege. For hundreds, if not thousands of years, the white male power structure controlled the media and disbursement of information. White males have proven to be the greatest evil mankind has ever known. From Hitler to our very own Harry S. Truman, who dropped the atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to the slave traders of old, no one has proven to do more harm to mankind than white men. The next topic is creating a culture of tolerance. To create a culture of tolerance, we must first eliminate all forms of hate speech. Every idea critical of our movement or our way of thinking must be condemned as racist, homophobic, misogynist, etc. The next one, crashing the borders. Most liberals are not Antifa yet, but soon they will be. Refugee crises such as those created by the situation in Syria are the ideal way to get more people of color into America. They need our help. There are pictures of dead babies who have washed ashore on the beaches. Use imagery such as this to get support for expanding people of color minority population in the United States. Never call any immigrant illegal, obviously. They are undocumented. It doesn't matter whether they came over here to smuggle drugs or if they were brought here by their parents at a young age. Migrants from Mexico and South America will play a crucial role in Antifa activities in the next 100 years. Control the media is another topic. It's important to gain control of the media through any means necessary. Social media is the new battlefront of ideals. We've seen what kind of power these outlets yield by kicking major fascists off their platform before. This will and this must only continue. Next topic, believe the way we do or you will be fired. The next crucial step is to threaten the livelihoods of anyone who dares speak out against our agenda. They are, after all, fascists who are clearly racist, homophobic, or misogynistic. You can't run a company with someone like that in your midst. Once we achieve this end, we'll almost be able to taste our victory. Yet we have so much further to go to achieve our ends. Next step, once we control the media, is the socialization of capital. This will obviously require major political power. With hopefully 70% people of color in this nation, we may begin to have a chance at these ends. As people of color, LGBTQ, little people, the disabled, Muslims, and other minority classes slowly become the majority, we will naturally vote pro-Antifa politicians into office. Speeding up progress. To achieve these ends, there are some tactics that we must use to speed our way towards progress. It's well known that whites in America are not producing as many offspring as their counterparts. It's important to make abortion on demand and without apology overwhelmingly available in predominantly white communities. We must lower the bar to access birth control in these communities and use media to promulgate the image of childless white people as being sexy, hip, and cool. Now we're getting somewhere. Phase 3, New World Order. Imagine a world free of hatred and bigotry. Imagine a world where you'll never have to be called the N-word again. Imagine a world where you can be as gay as you want and not be called a raging faggot. Where Antifa ideas reign supreme and all hateful microaggressive speech is eradicated. You guys want these Muslims in here. They don't stand for homosexual activity. Phase 4 is one world government. Our movement will eventually spread to other nations. Indeed, it has already begun. Some peoples will prove excessively resistant to our brand of Antifa, such as those who were previously burned by communism or failed socialist states. Make no mistake, we will prevail where others have failed. Their leaders' lust for status, power, and wealth eventually led them to create layers of power full of corrupt state officials. It is only natural that the ideologies we espouse spread throughout the globe. Starving Africans will finally be lifted out of poverty when we redistribute the wealth of the Western 1% to them. Sound too good to be true? It isn't. That's what we're fighting for. This is what we are. We are Antifa. Either you are with us or you are a fascist. Please do not distribute this to white males, non-people of color, non-LGBTQ, etc. Use common sense. There you go. The Antifa doctrine laid out, and George Soros is funding it. Google still in the news. How Google secretly records your private conversations. Did you know this? Google has effectively turned millions of its users' smartphones into listening devices that can record and store conversations not meant for Google's ears. Every Android phone user who has ever used Google's assistant, which is similar to Apple's Siri, is unknowingly sending voice recordings to the tech giant's servers where they are stored in the cloud. Google tells its users it only turns on and begins recording when they utter the words, "Okay, Google." But an investigation by The Sun, a UK-based newspaper, has found that the virtual assistant is a little hard of hearing. In some cases, just responding okay during a private conversation with a friend prompted Google to access the phone speaker and record around 20 seconds of audio. It regularly switches on the microphone as you go about your day-to-day activities, none the wiser, The Sun reports. Once Google is done recording, it uploads the audio files to its massive data center. Google is literally monitoring millions of conversations every day and storing the audio files in perpetuity, according to this report. Oh, these files are accessible from absolutely anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection. That means any device that is signed into your personal Gmail or Google account can access the library of your deepest, darkest secrets. The Sun then provides instructions on how to access your library of recorded conversations online. Google states on its terms and conditions that it keeps these recordings for improving speech recognition against all Google products that use your voice. Of course they would. They don't want to give it out that they're recording everything you're doing and saying. Google claims that mundane voice recordings from the general public will help its artificial intelligence that runs Google Home by teaching it how humans naturally communicate. In other words, it's a free language class for Google's AI software. Patrick Wood, a privacy advocate and expert on the global technocracy movement, said, "If you or I were caught secretly recording somebody's conversation, in many states you would be tried, convicted, and thrown in jail. But Google does it millions of times each day and people yawn. Google's original motto was don't be evil, but that was dropped in 2015 when its holding company Alphabet took over. Since then, its corporate culture has deteriorated into a viscous battle between Google's technocrats and the public. The public is losing, and Google obviously believes that it is too big to rein in. Is Apple any better?" Wood says iPhone users should not assume Apple is any less intrusive. Anything with a microphone can record your conversations. Smartphones, home assistance devices like the Amazon Echo, smart TVs, surveillance cameras, gaming consoles, etc. We no longer have any expectation of privacy from devices that can and will be used against us. Wow. And finally, from Political Insider, last week, the Cleveland Browns chose to join Colin Kaepernick and others protesting the national anthem by kneeling prior to a game against the New York Giants. A dozen players took a knee during the anthem instead of forming a player circle. Jim Brown, the legendary running back, sent them a message. "I'm going to give you the real deal. I'm an American," Brown said. "I don't desecrate my flag and my national anthem." Thank you, Jim Brown. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.